Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is Sketchbook Audio, and I am your host, Ryan Sketch. I'm going to bring you some excellent, excellent stuff from Tokyo, actually. The Tokyo Auto Salon recently happened, and they showed some amazing concepts, and it was a lot of fun. I think fun was the theme this year, and I'm excited to tell you all about it, so stay tuned. This is Medina Lake. Check it out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here at Sketchbook Audio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's finish this Medina Lake. We just gotta have this in the background. This is a good song. I haven't seen these guys in a long time. It's been a little while. This is a song that came out in 2009, so it's already been over 10 years since this song came out. They're a good, we'll call them emo band. But let's get to the meat of today's podcast. We talked about the Tokyo Auto Salon that just happened recently, and it was a phenomenal show. I think probably the best that they've had so far. I wish I could go. It's probably not something that's going to happen until maybe next year. But hey, if you want me to go and you want to support me going, send me some money on Sketchbook Audio on anchor.fm. I could use that money to buy a flight. Right now, I actually have, like $30 in my podcast account, which isn't a lot by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something. Oh, and by the way, this episode was brought to you in part not by Bang, because they don't sponsor me, but if they did, it would be pretty cool. I think their tagline should be "Go out and bang." Why not? Everybody loves, head banging, drinking Bang. You get where I'm going with this. Anyways, this is why I put explicit on my podcast. So if any of you are listening, you have kids and they're listening, shame on you. This is explicit. This is adult-only material. Mommy and daddy are talking kind of stuff. So anyways, back to the Tokyo Auto Salon. Let's start out with probably my first and favorite concept that they showed, because it's not necessarily a concept. It's pretty darn near production, and I think it takes the brand in a whole new different direction, and it really sparks some life into what I feel is a fairly boring automotive company, and that's the Nissan Ariya concept. First of all, the name is beautiful. I actually wanted to name my kid that, if I had a kid, that is, but what a great name. I don't even know what it means. You know what? Screw it. Let's figure out Ariya meaning. I don't know. Okay, so ARIA, which this might be a play on it, but is a long accompanied song for a solo voice, typically one in an opera or oratorio. The Nissan version is ARIYA, so they added a letter in there. Maybe they're similar, I don't know. But if this vehicle is supposed to invoke sort of a ethereal or musical feeling, I'll give it to them. Car names rarely have anything to do with the car. There's few times where it does. But, for instance, the Viper. You look at the Ariya concept, and it's really hard to see Nissan's present design language in there. And that's not a bad thing. To me, that's a really good thing. That means that this company is going beyond what they already know. But they are keeping with that whole V form in the front of the grill. Unfortunately, they kind of stuck themselves in with Honda, Dodge. I think even Subaru kind of does it. And Hyundai, where you have the headlights that connect into the grill, making this really weird V shape. It's not a bad look. It's just that everybody's doing it. I wish somebody would come up with something different, but the way Nissan flanked that shape with these large inlets on the side and this really deep upper lip. I'm doing so many hand motions. I'm Italian. Get over it. It goes really well with the theme. And you have that somewhat of a floating roof line that's been pretty synonymous with a lot of cars right now, the Jeep Compass, some Hyundais, so on and so forth. But it's actually just this nice silver trim that goes along the entire greenhouse. And then you have a fully black roof encapsulated by that, that line. And it kind of reminds me of Volkswagen's ID. Four, I think the new one that's the cross, I think, where it's a coupe crossover car sedan thing. And I really like this car. Nissan has never been bad at doing concept cars. Let's start off by saying that Nissan does a really good job of really evoking a lot of passion and emotion and sportiness with their concept cars. It's just that when they come to production, they don't always look the way they were. And obviously there are some constrictions with manufacturing and costs, but I really hope for their sake that this car looks damn near the same here. You know what? Let me show you guys so you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to post these pictures up on sketchbook_Instagram, but just so you can see what this is right now, that is the Nissan Ariya. It is a midsize crossover, all electric, and let me give you a little bit of more detail here. Okay, there is no detail right on the front. We'll move on to the next car. The next car, which I really hope previews the next generation Impreza, because I don't know if I've said it before, but I am not a fan of the Impreza. The Impreza right now, especially the wagon, is just a squat, bloated turd, honestly. There's no passion to that, whereas the WRX and the STI get a lot of emotion, but they also don't have a wagon variant right now. Going to Tokyo, where the Impreza is known as the Lavorg, it's actually a little bit bigger than the Impreza, but the Lavorg is just really nice forms, keeping with Subaru's present design language, but really punching everything out. Right now, their faces on, like, say, the Crosstrek and the Impreza are very flat-faced. There's not much going on. They've tried to chisel out some stuff with the present generation of the two vehicles, and I applaud them for that, but this just goes a step further and then some. It's a really nice design. So kudos to Subaru for that, but I'm not going to give you all the credit in the world until I see this in the United States. Subaru has a habit also of making beautiful concept designs and then just dumbing them down dramatically for production. And part of that is because Subaru, the car company, the manufacturer, is known for its engineering. It's known for making good vehicles that do what you want them to do and their off-road capabilities, or at least their all-wheel drive capabilities. Their design studio, which is basically separate from that, makes beautiful concepts. But then once those concepts translate over into Subaru, the car manufacturer, the engineers are just like, none of that matters. People just want a car that works, right? Wrong. We want cars that look good, damn it. And the Lavorg looks great. So this isn't concept. This is, it says prototype, but for all intents and purposes, this is a working vehicle that is going to look damn near just like that when it comes to production. We just need to wait and see if it actually comes here to the States as the Impreza. Now, the next one up here on the list is the Toyota Mirai concept. I'm not going to stick along on this one too long, but I just want to note that this is a huge departure from what the previous gen Mirai is, was, or is. Present generation? Not a bad thing, but also kind of a confusing thing, because when you look at the car, the first thing I saw was not Toyota, it was Lexus, which I know they're one and the same, but it speaks to a much more elegant and refined design language. Good news for Toyota is that could translate very well into a very beautiful and elegant sort of a marquee or like a flagship almost for their hybrid technology. So I see this, first of all, the Mirai right now is way more expensive than a Toyota Prius. But now that they've ventured more into the Lexus territory without badging it as a Lexus, I think this could be really good for Toyota to have a luxury hydrogen-powered vehicle. And who knows? Maybe a lot of this design language will translate down into the new Priuses. We'll wait and see. But interestingly enough, the new Mirai, this concept, which I'm fairly certain will not change any when they go into production. Because first of all, you look inside the car and it's a working car. Everything works. You open the doors, the engine, well, the whatever is fueling this thing works. But nothing on the inside is conceptual, really. It's all ready to go. The wheels are production ready. The body, everything is ready to go. So if they make it like this, I think they have a hit. The only thing I could see being a problem is they might venture too far into Lexus territory and undercut them or hurt their sales. But then again, the only real Lexus hybrid cars are the ES and the GS, and they're already way, way expensive. So if this can stick around 35, 40 grand, they'll probably be okay. Plus, it's a pretty damn big sedan. This is way bigger than the present Mirai is. So on to the next one, which I think Toyota hit the nail on the head with this one. This is the Toyota E-Racer. This will never go into production, ever. And even if it did, it would be a super, super limited run, and it would be for stupid rich people. I mean, I don't mean stupid rich people. I mean stupid rich, like billionaires. This is a car that's going to be a collector's item for somebody to kind of put in their trophy room. And when you actually look at the press photos that Toyota put out for this car, it's a trophy in a room. It's not a trophy in a garage or anything. This is the car that Sterling Silver, Sterling Moss, Silver Arrow, Sterling Silver, Sterling Moss drove. And, you know, now he's 90 years old or whatever, and he just put this in his penthouse apartment. That's what I see this car being. But it's beautiful. It's elegant. It's a one-seater with this weird buggy basket thing over it. I don't know. It's just good job, Toyota. I wish they would make something like this. I wish somebody would just go ahead and copy this and make it on a budget. That would be pretty awesome. But basically, it's a single-seat electric concept that I guess you don a virtual custom-fitting racing suit and put on glasses to take you to a virtual racetrack. And okay, so I should have read this before. This is actually not a car you drive. This is a car you use in your house as like your entire rig, gaming rig. It's pretty awesome. So this thing above your head is actually the thing that's projecting into your 3D glasses or something. I don't know. But if you look in the background, there's essentially what is a superhero suit, I would assume. But it's also the gear you wear while you're driving. So maybe this thing interacts with your body in a physical way. I don't know if you've ever seen Ready Player One, but the suit that they're wearing actually has tactical feedback, or haptic feedback. I'm sorry, not tactical. Haptic feedback, where if you get punched here, the suit vibrates and gives you a jolt right here. So you can feel what it's like to actually get punched. Same thing with being shot. That would suck, but the good news is it's only temporary. So if you had something like this and you're driving, maybe the haptic feedback would shake you as you're going over some bumps, or would really give you the feeling of G's, a lot of G-force. That would be pretty cool. So again, not something we're probably going to ever see, at least not for the next 20 years, but it would be pretty cool if somebody really built this and put this in their room and showed us what it would be like to drive Forza Horizon or something in it. Moving on to the next one. Now here's my favorite, because it's not just one, it's a series. It's like a little family of them. They kind of remind me of Care Bears. If Care Bears were cars, this is what they would be. And they're all brought to you by Daihatsu, which we're going to come back to another Daihatsu later. But the Daihatsu Waku Waku is one. And then there are several others that came. Okay, it's not showing them on this page, so I'm not going to get into all the other ones. But Toyota owns Daihatsu. And first and foremost, this is not coming to the U.S., in production or concept form, it sucks. And it's not that small of a car. It's bigger than the Fiat 500, probably closer to the 500L. But it's lifted a good amount, and it has some structural integrity and design elements that make it look like it would do pretty well in some rougher environments. It's not going to take on a Jeep Wrangler or a Gladiator by any means, but it's going to get you not just down paved roads, but some gravel roads. And I could see this going to somewhere in like Sao Paulo or in certain parts of China where you have cobblestone roads or something, or hey, even Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has some streets that still have cobblestone streets. And while it's kind of nice to see that hasn't left, it also sucks to drive on. So, but I could see this doing pretty well in it. But anyways, the Waku Waku, I have no idea what it means, but they peg it as a mini crossover that opens up new spheres of enjoyment. I'm excited and elated just saying the name Waku Waku. I want to have this car so I can just, hey guys, check out my Waku Waku. Yeah, I'm smoking the reefer, but don't worry about it. Look at my car. It's awesome. It's adorable. You know, some people have dogs and they love puppies. I love my Waku Waku, and I will pet it. Just look at this car and the rest of the vehicles that showed up in this family. They're hilarious, and they're so cute. It's like owning a panda. It's not legal to own a panda, number one. So if you do own a panda, shame on you. But it would be like owning a panda that you could drive. I wouldn't want to ride on the back of a panda, necessarily, unless it let me, and it was like, hey, Ryan, get on my back. Let's go for a ride through the jungle, or a crawl, or whatever. I don't know what it does. Climbing up a tree. But that's how I feel like this would make me feel when I got inside this car, the Waku Waku. It's functional. It's funky. It's definitely fresh. And it's just weird, but it's good. And it reminds me a lot of, and for a good reason, the Toyota FTX4, the FJ Cruiser, and a few other cars, you know, possibly led by Scion. Toyota owns Daihatsu, so it makes sense that this came from the same design studio, or at least a similar design language. So that's the Waku Waku. I wish it was coming to the States, but it's not. Here's another car that I would love to see come to the States. And they do make cars in for the South America, Latin America, Mexico market. And I can literally drive 15 minutes away and see most of these cars by this company. But, you know, it's not. So that's Suzuki. Suzuki ditched the United States in the mid-2000s, I think like 2008 or so. It was definitely right around when I left Pittsburgh. So it was 2008, 2009, something like that. They just said, we're not making cars that people enjoy here. And that's true. People here wanted larger vehicles, and they wanted vehicles that really did well in our environment. Our streets are big enough that we don't really need a tiny car. Seeing a smart car on the streets in the United States is just hilarious. But seeing it downtown New York City, okay, makes more sense. But the Suzuki Waku Spo, I don't know what that is. Clearly, it has something to do with Daihatsu, I guess, or maybe Waku. You know what? What does Waku mean? Let's find out. What? It's YouTube music. Download the app today. Waku meaning. Waku Waku means. Oh, it's a radio station, apparently. Let's see. Waku means. It just gave me the Japanese. It doesn't show. So anyways, now that that's lost on me, I am forever ruined. But going back to the vehicles themselves, let me get there. Okay, so this Suzuki Waku Spo is a... It's a little bit of a riff on the Honda eSport concept and the now production model. I can definitely see how they're similar, but I would much rather have this. The Honda is much taller and a little bit shorter. This feels more along the lines of something like the Nissan IDX concept. It was a great little coupe kind of hatchback. It was very retro, and it was just it looked like it would be fun to drive. I would imagine this has some great driving dynamics, possibly like the Mazda MX-5 Miata. But Suzuki wasn't – they weren't known too well for having cars that lasted very long. But their driving dynamics were pretty good in their cars. The Kizashi and there was another car that they had that I really enjoyed. Once you get into their bigger SUVs like the Vitara and the Grand Vitara, you kind of lose it there and you're better off just buying a Jeep or a Honda. And maybe that's why they didn't last. But I actually did just see yesterday, and I'll post it up on Instagram, but I saw a Vitara, the smaller version than the Grand Vitara. And I really liked it. It had a white roof on, oh, I don't really remember what color the body was, but it was pretty sharp looking. The interior looked very functional, very modern, and it was a cute little crossover thing. It was probably the size of a Renegade, I think, and I liked it. It would have been a nice competitor to the Renegade, but they don't sell it here in the United States. It came from Mexico. So that's another car we will not get. On to the Aria again, real quick. I'll just mention that this would probably battle against the Tesla Model X or even the Y, depending on its size. But it's a beautiful concept, and the color that they showed it off in is a very elegant light blue, but it's matte finish, and I love it. And it's got this really nice, long, sleek greenhouse, and it definitely gives the feel of a very open air environment, and a lot like the Tesla Model X and the Y, the whole roof is glass, and the glass on the sides, the tumble home, everything just makes for a very light environment on the interior, and I like those kind of things. The next one, and this is by far the coolest concept that was at the auto show, but also never going to happen. First of all, it's coming from Mitsubishi. So we know it's never going to happen. Second of all, what it is just makes no sense, but it does. And I'll tell you, because it's like a direct competitor to the Wrangler and the soon-to-be Bronco. But at the same time, it's its own niche. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Range Rover Evoque convertible and the Nissan Murano Cabrio. Useless, but fun and really sexy looking and weird looking too, of course. But this is the Mitsubishi MyTech concept, and why they called it the MyTech, it has nothing to do with Michigan and Michigan Tech. What this has everything to do with is me. It only fits two people, but everything is geared towards me, the driver. You have an open top speedster form on top of what is essentially a Jeep Wrangler two-door body. Big, punchy, plastic fender flares with under flares built in. The headlights go into those fender flares. The taillights also wrap around and go into those fender flares. And it's just a cool car. I would love to take this on any of the beaches here in California. But again, not something that's going to ever show up just because there's no market for it. You might sell 1,000 of these in its entire lifespan because there's so many other vehicles out there that give you so much more functionality. And I would imagine the cost on this thing is going to be ridiculous, but maybe not. Mitsubishi might do really well to sell this thing. If they can garnish enough attention, I see. And that's what I think Mitsubishi should do. They should take a few risks. They took the wrong risk by naming their most recent crossover the Eclipse Cross. They could have called it anything else Cross, but calling it the Eclipse Cross was the risk that they should never have taken. Making the car itself, good risk. It was smart. They sell pretty well here in California. They're proliferating more over on the East Coast. I had one and I enjoyed it. I found out, do not ever take that thing off-road. It is not the same all-wheel drive system as the Lance Revolution. I thought it was, and it was just lies upon lies. Now, if you put some mud tires on it, maybe, but some all-terrain tires, you might do better. But do not take it off-road the way it is. But the Mitsubishi MyTech begs to be taken off-road. And here's another reason why I think it would do really well. Rivian. Rivian's making these beautiful SUVs and a truck, and they have a rally-inspired vehicle coming out shortly after. But this would be a great competitor to that. And if you're doing a low volume for something like this, you could get away with it if everything else is selling really well. A lot of car companies, they just make a sports car because they can. They have the liquid funds to do it, and they have another brand or another vehicle that's just outselling for everything. For instance, Ram. Ram and Wrangler and Jeep in general, they sell enough vehicles to make it okay to sell something like the Fiat 500 Abarth here in the States, the 124. And a few other vehicles. They're not worried really about those vehicles. Yeah, they should be volume sellers, but even in volumes, they don't sell a lot at all. But what they do is they keep your fuel economy and your EPA numbers down, which is really good. And Mitsubishi sorely needs something like that. So if they had another, if this is all electric or even a plug-in hybrid, I think it would do really well as that niche vehicle that drives the passion back for Mitsubishi. This isn't an Eclipse. This isn't a 3000 GT. It's something totally different, and I dig it. The other thing I really dig about this is it has giant subwoofers in the trunk, and it's an open trunk, so it's basically a truck bed, but not. Take a look at it on the sketchbook_audio on Instagram, and I think you'll really enjoy it. We have two more concepts, and one's actually a production vehicle, but I want to get through these because they're really cool. The Lexus LF30. So there's a lot of people who hate that spindle grill. Lexus apparently hasn't figured that part out yet. But the rest of the car, hey guys, it's a A-okay. Man, I don't even know what to call this thing. It's like a coupe, hatchback thing. The interesting thing about it is the way the roof just dives down into the hood, the bonnet. You don't see that on many cars, certainly not production cars. But on concept cars, it's a hard thing to do because it completely obliterates safety on the A-pillars. The integrity of the roof and the glass is just non-existent. But you can do it in low-volume cars. You can do it on concept cars, of course. So I don't know how this thing would ever translate into a production car, unlike, say, what translated into the UX and the NX. Great design language on the sides and everything. And I like the spindle grille. I think it's an interesting form that it really incorporates the headlights and the grille and the lower fascia. But some people don't. So we don't know what the Lexus LF30 will translate into. I imagine some of this will be kind of the next step for the spindle grille and maybe some really interesting forms on the body side. But I don't see this ever coming to fruition. Maybe some of the technology that's powering this thing could. But the rest of the vehicle, it is conceptual and it's a beautiful concept. But here's one that is production. So we know that there is a Mazda CX-4 that doesn't come to the United States. We also know that there is a Mazda CX-35 that will be coming to the United States, and it's basically a little bit bigger than the Mazda CX-3, but smaller than the CX-5. But this thing just takes it to a different level, and I don't know what's going on here, but I love it. It's called the Mazda MX-30. Basically, if the CX-5, well, the CX-4, but since we don't get that here in the States, the CX-5 and the RX-8 had a baby, and their baby was electrified and a crossover. A low-slung crossover. So I don't see this thing ever going off-road. This is meant for the streets, but it's got a really nice two-tone form with a gray greenhouse just sitting firmly on this body. The headlights, the taillights, they're three-dimensional. And I don't mean like the inside of them is three-dimensional. I mean the whole form has ins and outs, and they stick out, and they go into the grill. it's a very nice, some people are going to say they don't like the body, but the little pieces make up for it. So the grill, which by the way is a lot, the grill now on the MX-30 is this big, whereas normal Mazdas are this big for obvious reasons. Electric cars don't necessarily need airflow coming into them. They get cooling in other places. So Mazda was able to get back some of its real estate in the front fascia for other things like the fog lights, the lower bumper portion, and bigger headlights by decreasing the grill size. So good for them on that. But you can see how fat this thing is because the batteries are on the floor and they come down really low. So again, this thing is going to be left on the streets. But it's a good practice for Mazda to learn how to make electric cars for the United States and for the rest of the world. I mentioned that this is kind of like a cross. I mentioned before that this was a cross between a CX-5 and an RX-8. Why did I say that? Because suicide doors. How many cars can we say these days outside of Rolls-Royce have suicide doors? To my knowledge, zero. The FJ Cruiser is gone. So there goes those suicide doors. There's a few trucks that still have that rear, but not many. That's disappearing too. So the fact that Mazda had the balls to go ahead and put suicide doors on a crossover, cool. Now, while I love that, it's the interior of this car that really gets me going, because Mazda isn't necessarily known, or hasn't been known, for a lot of layers and a lot of material differentiation, like say the BMW i3 and the i8. But with this, they just said, fuck it, we're doing it. We're going to give it everything. We're going to give it all we got, and we're going to make a really elegant interior. And I think they get the idea now that if you're driving a car like this, it's because you live in your car, essentially. You spend maybe an hour or more, if you're in California, driving in your car every morning and every evening coming back. Or you like to go on longer trips, you know, not necessarily the distance that your battery would go, but you might, and you want to feel comfortable in your car. While this doesn't really do anything dramatic for the passengers, it does do something for the driver and kind of what the passengers can look at. We're not yet at a point where we can put swivel chairs into vehicles, except for minivans like the Chrysler Town & Country and the Grand Caravan did, which is gone now. But we are at a point where people should be able to enjoy everything in their car. And that's the tactile feel of the buttons, the dash and things, while their car is able to be a little automated, you know. So the MX-30 is it's not the sexiest looking car, but I give it a lot of credit for the detail and the suicide doors and the interior. So check it out on sketchbook_audio on Instagram and let me know what you think. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you think it's a good direction for Mazda? Do you think they should put more suicide doors on cars? I think they should. Just be that weird car company that makes reliable, safe cars that have a great driving dynamic. Mazdas are known for their driving dynamics, from the Miata to this to the CX-9. CX-9 has actually been rated as one of the top vehicles in its class for driving dynamics. It handles well. It feels planted and firmly weighted. The steering is great, and it's not quite like driving a sports car, but it's as close as you're going to get with driving something that's over 4,000 pounds. So hopefully this MX-30 feels just as much, because now you are carrying a lot of weight in a smaller vehicle, but you're also planted, so your center of gravity is lower. And that could really help with the sportiness of this car. So we'll see when that comes out, which I think is supposed to be in Europe 2020, and it'll make its way over here to the United States shortly after that. Anyways, that's it for Sketchbook Audio today. Thank you for tuning in. Again, go to sketchbook_audio on Instagram. Check out all the pictures that I'm going to post here today. And let me know what you think about these cars. We had the MX-30. We had the MyTech. I would love to hear what your guys' feedback is on this, because to me, it's a smart risk for Mitsubishi to take. I don't think it'll ever happen. But if they were to try and break the mold of everything else that everybody else is doing to be different and differentiate themselves in the market, like Nissan did with the Juke, make this. It can be low volume. Just make it fuel efficient, make it fun to drive, and give it the features that those niche people would absolutely love and never want to get rid of again. And then, of course, you know, the little cars, the Waku Wakus and the Waku Spo, that we will never see. And man, just bring small cars to the United States. Screw all of you with your trucks. What are you compensating for anyways? All right, that's Squitch. That's Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Thanks for tuning in. And, oh, real quick before we go, I did a little event last week called the Middlecott Sketch Battle Junior Competition. And what that is a new kind of brainchild from Brooke Branham and Frank Schwartz, where they are trying to bring all the Sketch Battle excitement and allure and panache that the normal Sketch Battles give people who are actually in the industry, like myself and a lot of my friends, but bring it to the kids who are still learning or still trying to figure out, is that what I want to do? Do I want to draw cars or be an artist of any kind? Is there any money to be made? The answer to that is yes, but don't worry about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the passion. And I got to teach these kids, and actually I learned from these kids too. It was great. But I got to teach them and show them my experience and these other people from Rivian, from Ford, from GM and Toyota, and FCA, they gave their expertise to these kids as well. And then the kids kind of battled it out a little bit. There were prizes to be had, but it's great. So check it out. If you have kids who are interested in drawing, we may be coming to a city near you. And I say we because I'm probably going to be one of the people teaching or instructing or even being a judge, hopefully. But check it out. It's the Middlecott Sketch Battle Junior. I'll get a website posted up on Instagram. I'll just post the flyer and you guys can check it all out. One cool thing is they tend to give the students the supplies that they need. Thanks to a lot of support and donations from Blick Art Supplies, Wells Fargo, and a couple other places. So thank you to those people who support those ventures, because without that, a lot of kids would just be lost with no direction for their hobbies and their skills and their talents. Sports is one thing. It's easy to find a sport instructor, but to find somebody who really cares about art and the automotive design industry and bring that to that age group, it's really hard to find. So check them out if you're interested. There is another Middlecott Sketch Battle coming out here soon. Of course, we're not going to have the one in Detroit in January. It is going to now be in June because that is this for the year 2020. That is when the Detroit Auto Show will be. So thanks for tuning in. Go ahead and sketch. And one last thing. I draw cars. I draw shoes. Now there's I Draw Moto. Check them out on Kickstarter. I Draw Co. C-O. Or I Draw Creative Goods. You can look them up either way, and you will see that they have a new book for I Draw Motos. And if you pre-order now, your perk is a pretty badass looking black sketchbook with a yellow binder wrap thing, yellow pages, and it's a limited edition. You can get it signed by some well-known motorcycle artists and motorcyclists. So definitely check it out. Thank you for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. And I'm going to go play some Call of Duty. Peace out.